Welcome into this 2024 edition of Shark and the Dog. It has been months since we last talked, and a lot has happened in the Boston sports world. We're going to start you off with what's happening down at One Patriot Place with the retiring slash leaving of Bill Belichick, the parting of ways between the Crafts and Mr. Belichick, and the hiring of Gerard Mayo in-house. We're going to talk a little bit about that, see what's going on with the Bruins these days, with the Celtics, a little bit of around the NFL, maybe some miscellaneous stuff at the end. But first, to my right is the Shark himself, Mr. Dave Nardella. Dave, how are you?
It's great to be back, John. Great to be back. Happy 2024 to everyone.
Happy 2024. And out in the great state of California, in his vehicle, is Mr. Matthew Kovach with us. Matt, how are you?
I don't know if you guys have heard this about Gerard Mayo, but he's an exceptional leader of men, and people just really gravitate towards him. I don't know if you guys have heard anything.
I've heard that. And in the Granite State is the dog father himself, Mr. Paul Murphy. Paul, how are you?
Very good, John. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm your host, John Murphy. Let's get right into it. Dave, start the clock. We are timing our segments. We got 10 minutes to go on the Patriots with Bill Belichick, Gerard Mayo, maybe even a little recap of that wonderful season that was the 4-13 New England Patriots, who have secured the third pick in the draft. A little bit of excitement there. Maybe we touch on that at the end of this segment if we have time. Dave, Bill Belichick, I'll let you give a in memoriam to the 20 years that was the Belichick term with the Patriots.
Sure. I mean, it's our childhood, right? I mean, in 2000, we were, I was 8 years old. You were almost 10. And ever since that started, it was just a dream era. Obviously, Tom Brady was a big part of that. But starting in 2001 with that Super Bowl, the game plan we had against that Rams team, which was one of the better Super Bowl teams that lost, I think, in a long time. They had Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner.
Greatest show on turf.
Greatest show on turf. And that game plan against them, limiting them to 17 points, winning that Super Bowl, obviously, you know, the rest is history. Even coming up through, you know, the 2018 Super Bowl when we beat the Chiefs, no one thought we were going to go into Arrowhead and win that game. That game plan was great. Up until this year with the defensive game plan, I mean, the offense was abysmal, but the defense was pretty stellar, and I think he had a huge part in that. And, you know, he's the best coach of all time, and it's hard to see him go. But, you know, it was probably the best 20-plus years of our lifetime. We'll never get a coach like that ever again, and it's sad to say that.
Well said, Paul. I'm sure you have some opinions on this, but when was the right time for Belichick to leave?
Oh, boy. Well, you could say he should have left when Tom Brady left, but no, he's leaving at the right time. It's just alarming, though, that he hasn't been able to find a job. I mean, it's kind of scary, John, because he's so big that the owner has to turn the team over to him, and I don't think they want to do that anymore, so... It's kind of scary. I don't know. He's going to have to fight tooth and nail to hop over Don Shula with another 15 wins. So it'll be interesting. I suppose the team that he's going to coach has a coach now, and at some point in time, that person will get fired and he'll replace him. So that's my thought on that.
I think so, too. Dave was doing some of his favorite Belichick moments. Care to share any?
Yeah, he got me tickets to the Army-Navy game. That was the highlight of the 24 years.
That's a great one. That's a really good example. Cove, we'll turn it over to you. I'm sure you've got some opinions here.
How crazy is it that just a few years ago, the greatest quarterback of all time entered free agency and had very few suitors? The greatest coach of all time is now in free agency and has very few suitors. It's incredible. When you think about it, I mean, you know, we still don't know what happened in the Falcons interviews with Belichick, but I mean, they hired Raheem Morris. At some point, somebody felt Raheem Morris was a better option than Bill Belichick. It's really crazy to think that, you know, I mean, my God, Tom Brady was stunned when teams were taking wanted Jimmy Garoppolo more than him. I mean, my God, what if you're Bill Belichick and you've been basically passed over for Raheem Morris? what can you say about 20, what can you say about 24 years? I mean, truly, what can you say about 24 years? It's so funny how they, you know, they talked about the credit forever. Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? And it kind of ping pong back and forth. I still go back to what Brady said in his post-Patriots, pre-Bucks interview with Howard Stern. When Howard Stern asked him, you know, who is it, Brady or Belichick, basically. And Brady goes, I effing hate that question. I couldn't do his job and he couldn't do mine. So, I mean, maybe that's the moratorium on the entire dynasty. But, you know, there's a time to sit back and talk about all the great wins. And there are so many great wins. I mean, my God, everybody remembers the playoff wins. But how about just so many great regular season wins? So many regular season wins and then great playoff wins that didn't lead to a Super Bowl championship. I mean, somewhere Paul's friend Marlon McCree is just wondering how he got stripped by Troy Brown still 18 years later. Biggest final closing memory on Belichick, though, is again how he really picked up, you know, how he really rewrote the franchise after when he came in 2000 and, you know, basically stripped it down to the studs and had the, you know, the stones essentially to bench Bledsoe in 2001, which was, you know, unheard of that he wouldn't get his job back. So, you know, we can talk about all that, though, seriously at a later date. I mean, the bottom line is you've got a rookie head coach taking over one of the worst rosters in the league. You know, high times down there off of Route 1.
Well said. Favorite Belichick moment, Cove. Mine, I said the day of off-air, was not calling a timeout against the Seahawks.
Of course. Not calling a timeout against the Seahawks. I'll go you one better. How about they ran the same fake bad snap, direct running back snap play in the Super Bowl 13 years or 14 years apart. They ran it in the same stadium, by the way. You know, I mean, how this is something a lot of Patriots fans don't think about. They move the Super Bowl around to different stadiums every year. Brady and Belichick won two Super Bowls in the same building, Reliant, NRG, whatever you want to call it, stadium down there in Atlanta, or excuse me, in Atlanta, in Houston. And in 2003, against the Panthers, they ran a fake bad snap to Kevin Falk up the middle for a two-point conversion. And then in Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons, they ran a fake bad snap, two-point conversion to James White. That's my favorite.
Amazing. We're getting up against it on our time clock here. Let's talk a little bit about Jerod Mayo. I'll prime the topic with a question for you, Dave. You got three coaching options. Let's just imagine these are all available to you. Jerod Mayo, Mike Vrabel, Jim Harbaugh. Who do you want? And let me follow up. Is Jerod Mayo third on that list?
No. Nope. This is probably a scorching take, which, you know, we all know Shark and the Dog provides a lot of that. Yes. But I would take Vrabel first. I thought he would be a great guy to come in, and, you know, he knows the culture, similar to Mayo. He's won Super Bowls. That's the reason why I would want him over Mayo, because Mayo surprisingly never, I don't think he ever won a Super Bowl as a player. I may be wrong in that, but he won one as a coach in 2018. But I just would want Vrabel. He knows New England. He knows the culture. He knows how to win. He would be my first. Jerod Mayo would be my second. Harbaugh would be the third, just because I think he brings a lot more with him than the other two. Doesn't really know New England, doesn't have a ton of ties to New England, and it would just be the Harbaugh show, and you know, I think we'd be a good team, but I just feel like the other two options are better. I want someone that has experienced the Belichick culture. I don't want that to leave, but that's my answer.
Paul, my order is Harbaugh, Vrabel, Mayo. What's your order?
Vrabel one, Harbaugh two, Mayo three. John, I want to mention one more thing. I was thinking about Bill Belichick. I wish I remember it was on a Monday night game. The Patriots were getting ready to kick a field goal, and they had to down the ball, and they had to change 11 players. 11 had to come on, and 11 had to go off. And I remember the announcer saying the only coach in the league that could coordinate that move was Bill Belichick. I mean, guys jump offside now and there's no one going anywhere. But the Patriots were able to do that. That's when they were totally in sync. I can't remember the year. I wish I could. But, you know, maybe insignificant. It was just a field goal before the half. But it just showed how superior a coach he was to the rest of them.
Well said. Cove, I'll offer the same question to you. Vrabel, Harbaugh, Mayo, what's your order?
Honestly, Harbaugh and Vrabel are set up to coach teams that are ready to win. So, honestly, my order is Mayo, Vrabel, Harbaugh. Harbaugh wouldn't have worked with the Patriots.
Yes,
and, by the way, Jerod Mayo is a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 49. My God, have we gotten – were we so rich that we just forgot players that were on epic championship teams?
Possibly.
I mean, think about that, though. It's like going in your jewelry box and saying, oh, my God, look at this diamond necklace I, you know, forgot to give my mom for Christmas.
All right, we got 10 seconds left in the Patriots segment. What's everyone doing with the third pick in the draft? What position are you drafting? Dave.
Wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., if he's available.
Paul.
If it's not Marvin Harrison, I'm trading the pick. I want to trust the process. I want to go backwards because we don't have enough talent.
So what are you picking?
I'll take it. If Harrison's available, that's who I'm taking.
All right. Cove.
Oh, my man Jalen Daniels from LSU.
Wow. I'm going Marvin Harrison. Good work, Dave. Dave, I'm going to need a beeper. We didn't have a beeper there.
Well, I didn't want to.
Put the beeper on, all right? We didn't know when the time was up. All right, let's do a little around the NFL here. That was a good little Patriots.
New segment?
Yes, new segment. Dave, we're going to shoot for 3 minutes, okay? Around the NFL. Let's talk about some of these matchups we have. I think before we even get to the matchups ahead, the Chiefs and the Ravens, which I think is going to be a great AFC championship game. Two MVP caliber quarterbacks going head-to-head, mobile quarterbacks going head-to-head in Baltimore. And then you've got the Lions, America's sweetheart, and the San Francisco 49ers, who I really don't think anyone gives a shit about. So we'll talk about those games, but we first got to talk about the Buffalo Bills, Dave. What does that do to just where this team is headed?
It's brutal. I was pulling for them. They just couldn't contain Mahomes and Kelsey. That was the big, that was the big draw with them. And of course, Stephon Diggs, who talked all this stuff in the offseason about, you know, how he wants the ball more. Josh Allen threw four deep balls that were perfect. Yeah. I think two to Diggs, two to their fourth receiver, who, you know, you hope he catches one. But Diggs, as being one of the higher paid receivers in the league, has to catch one of those. If you catch one of those, you're in the AFC Championship game this week. But just too many. They didn't come up big in the big moments at home, and it's too bad because I don't think you fire McDermott, but I think some change needs to happen with that team in order for them to move on to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl.
Cove, anything on the Bills?
I think you absolutely fire Sean McDermott. Yeah, Sean McDermott was a great coach to come in there and kind of settle everything down and do like a quasi rebuild. But, you know, again, and we've seen this, you know, we've seen this in Boston. You've seen it throughout sports for years, all four major professional sports. You have the get you there coach, and then you have the get you over the hump coach. Tony Dungy rebuilt the Buccaneers so John Gruden could take them to a Super Bowl championship. So that's, you know, a big part of it for the Bills, obviously. And they also have a defensive coach. And, you know, unfortunately, we can rant and rave about the current NFL and all the things we don't like about it, but what defensive coaches?
Cove, we got to keep it moving. We only have so much time left in the around the NFL segment. Paul, anything on the Bills?
Yeah, one thing. They can win the Super Bowl next year. They're one move they have to make. Trade Stephon Diggs to the Dallas Cowboys because his brother's on the team for C.D. Lamb.
Wow.
They have to give up a pick, give it up. But, you know, he's going to have to take a salary. You think he complains now. Wait till they have to trim his pay. So he needs to go. He's the dig. You're right. Josh Allen did his job. No turnovers, nothing. Did everything in the world. If Diggs had a decent game, they would have won. Decent.
Yeah. Paul, who's your Super Bowl matchup?
Baltimore and San Francisco.
We got to keep moving. Dave, who's your Super Bowl matchup?
Baltimore-Detroit.
I like it. Co-op Super Bowl matchup.
Kansas City-Detroit.
Yep, that's mine too. Good segment. Beeper just went off. 3 minutes. Dave, set five for the Boston Bruins. We're going to go right to the NHL and to the Bruins, who, as of Tuesday, had secured the most points in the NHL. And we got to throw another stat out there. I am 4-0 at the Boston Garden this year. That should not go unnoticed. In years prior, it has been very tough. I've been told to not enter the building. Everyone should be thanking me for what I've done for the Bruins this season and the Celtics. 3-0 with the Bruins, 1-0 with the Celtics. Just want to throw that out there. Dave, what are your thoughts on the Bruins of late?
They've been excellent, and the big reason for that has been goaltending. Swayman has been excellent. Mm-hmm. Allmark's been great. They're getting... I want to give credit where credit is due here, because in the preview podcast, Cove said Charlie Coyle was going to have 30 goals. He is on pace for over 30 goals, and he has stepped into the Bergeron role and has been excellent. Zacha has been good throughout the...
Credit,
yep.
But you also have to give a demerit.
Yep, yep.
Who are you giving the demerit to?
Paul, unfortunately. Paul thought it was crazy that he was going to get 30 goals, but he stepped right in. Zaka's been great. He hasn't been great lately, but this team is rolling. Trent Frederick is a true top six forward, and that's all I got in the Bruins because we are on a time constraint.
I like it. Paul, I know your viewing of the Bruins is very limited just because of local cable rules, but what are your thoughts on this team?
Jake DeBrusk has 14 points in 14 games. It's just amazing. Every time you watch, you say you're going to get rid of the guy. John, he's going to have like a 15-year career here. That's what he's going to have. He's going to be like Al Horford. He's always going to be there. So that's my take on the Bruins. Montgomery gets so worked up over everything, though. They lose one game. They have a record like the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm afraid he might get clipped just like Adrian Griffin. So that's my concern. They get a little too carried away about the record. It's all about the playoffs.
Don't compare the Bruins to the Bucks. That is so unfair to the Boston Bruins. But I hear what you're saying. Cove, thoughts on the Bees?
Jim Montgomery is my favorite Bruins coach, possibly of my entire life. I love everything about Monty and everything about what he brings. Here's my question, though. Is this team tough enough? Because against Carolina last night, they looked kind of soft, and they just didn't. I'm going to let the hockey Krishnas on the broadcast talk about the skating and how many times your defensemen are over center ice, things like that. Is the team tough enough? That's my biggest question. I love Charlie Coyle and thought that he would be fine playing in that Bergeron role. I was, again, we love Bergeron. We love Krejci. I've never missed those guys for a second. I've been more than happy with, the bargain basement signings like Shattenkirk and Van Riemsdyk, et cetera. But are they tough enough? That's my biggest question. And that was a big question for this team last year. Also, I like Swayman. I do not trust Linus Allmark as far as I could throw him across the street.
Agreed. He's your game one starter, Swayman.
Well said.
Absolutely. Because don't forget, for as much as we love Linus and the goalie hugs and the Vezina, he's been benched in the playoffs each of the last 2 years.
He's David Price.
Oh, my God. Well, hopefully he's David Price and comes out and, throws a gem in the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, if Swayman gets hurt or something like that, he's not a bad goalie to throw out there. He's won playoff games. He can't play them all.
I don't think he's 100% right now.
I agree, but still, I doubt that he would go into this postseason and just figure out how to be a playoff goalie. I think it's just in you. So to go off of your toughness thing, Cove, the unfortunate thing that I'm sure would just get shelved until, we go down in a playoff series because of a lack of toughness. You are going to miss Milan Lucic at some point if you don't do something at the trade deadline, because that was a big part of like, hey, we're going to treat this guy almost like we've treated Al Horford, of like, just stash him and until we need him, and we'll need him at times, but we want him healthy for the playoffs so we can have him bruise up these other teams that have done it to us the last couple of years. So, I mean, that is a tough situation. Dave, I'll let you wrap up the Bruins. How much of a breath of fresh air has James Van Riemsdyk been for the Boston Bruins?
He's been phenomenal. I think he has the highest goals per salary made in the NHL, which is unbelievable, i.e. he's probably the most bang for your buck free agent signing in the NHL. Last 10 seconds here, I think they are going to address the sandpaper at the deadline. I don't know if that's a – I know we don't like him, but like a Patrick Maroon, someone like that, bring him in and just be that fourth-line guy. One last thing, quick hockey rant. 1 second.
Where is the beat?
Is there anything better on Nesson when you see the Bruins cycling in the zone and the zone time comes up and they're just buzzing around the zone and they get a shot on net, usually a goal? It's great. I just want to say that. It's one of the best things on Nesson.
Nothing better. Dave, set it to 7 minutes for the Celtics segment and please have the beeper working this time. On to the Celtics. Let's talk a little bit. Actually, I'll start us off with this. Dave, are the Boston Celtics the 34-10 Boston Celtics with the best record in the NBA, or are they the team that lost to the Denver Nuggets last Friday night?
They're the 34-10 best team in the NBA.
Paul, same question to you.
I think they're short. They play. You guys are talking about toughness. Who that? You know, like a PJ Tucker, or some, not him, but somebody like that. They're short. I know the talk is for Kelly Olynyk. That might be the guy. That's what they say on the NBA Network. He's the one that they're targeting. So I think that, they have the best team, but it doesn't mean they'll win. They have to do a little bit more. They really do.
Before I throw it to Cove, you could do nothing at the trade deadline. You could have two guys get injured, and you can still win it. It's going to come down to your two stars. If those two guys play well at the same time, you'll beat any team in the NBA. If one of them plays well, you need your supporting cast to play out of their mind, which is possible. That's still possible. But if you add something at the trade deadline, great. Go Brad, everything. If you don't, I won't flip out like I did to Cove on an episode 6 years ago because we didn't pick up Marc Gasol. Cove, go ahead. Anytime.
Lose them. Okay. No, sorry about that. They're the 2003 Red Sox. An amazing lineup. An amazing lineup. You're running, what, 8 deep on this team right now?
You couldn't say that, Cove. You said they were supposed to be the 2004 Sox. You said last year they wouldn't win.
In 2004... You had the best closer on the planet. His name was Keith Foulke. In 2003, you had Scott Williamson, Mike Timlin, and Alan Emery, who, you know, obviously never made it out of the bullpen. When Jason Tatum failed to close that game against Minnesota, who got into town about 5 hours before tip-off and looked nervous trying to close that game. Against Denver. Looked nervous trying to close that game. Blew a big layup at the end of the game. They tried to take that step back jumper to force overtime, bricked it, and looked just lost and out of control. I don't want to say scared or nervous, just lost and out of control. This team does not have a true closer right now. Derek White is your closer.
Well, let him be the closer. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, think about this.
There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, ideally, you want your closer to be one of your best players. This is the reason the new big three works so well in Boston is because KG wasn't a closer and he didn't want the ball at the end of the games. Ray Allen and Paul obviously wanted the ball at the ends of the games. JT looks scared out there. And I love Jason Tatum. I'm the biggest Jason Tatum fan that any one of us knows by far, unless somebody knows his kid. But you just do not have closers on this team. I love Jaylen Brown. I love what he did in the fourth quarter against Dallas the other night. He was awesome. He's not a closer. It's a big, big difference.
I think he's your third closer. On this topic, I'll rank your closers. My number one closer is Derek White. Number two is Porzingis. Number three, Jaylen. JT is fourth. Holiday fifth. And then you can throw the two little three-point shooters, six and seven. I said he was two, Dave. Listen. So those are your closers. And do you know who I'll use as an example here? Is Washington Wizards, whatever year it was, 2014, 2015, Paul Pierce. Was he the best player on the Wizards? No, but he hit multiple game-winning shots in the playoffs and took that team way further than they should have gone. That's not a comparable team, but you can have a guy that's not your star player be that closer. I'm totally fine with – I don't think Derek White is afraid of the moment, and I think he just doesn't seize up in those situations. There's nothing worse than a gotta-have-it shot at the end of a quarter, end of a game, and it's JT playing isolation, step-back basketball. It's the most guaranteed miss in the world. You need literally him to shatter it off the backboard like he did to open the season against the Bucks 4 years ago in the COVID year. So that's where I stand on the whole closer situation. And, Cove, I have to throw it back at you. Of last year, you gave us all promise that team was not going to win it all. They were going to win it all this year. And they lost in a Game 7 in the conference finals last year. Very 2003 Red Sox. This is their year. You can't go back on that take. I have to hold you to it. Dave, anything else on the SC?
They're going to win it all, but they just have a problem. They're the problem at the back end of games right now. And maybe Drew Holiday becomes part of that guy as well. You know, it's hard to come to a team where you have two stars who are established and entrenched there, and then, you know, be Drew Holiday and come in as a veteran and start saying, hey, I'm going to start taking final shots.
I think he's a great player. I don't think that's your best option. I think White and Porzingis are two guys who are great shooters, great clutch shooters. I think you go to them first, and then Jalen, then JT. Dave, let me hit you with a couple of – how are we doing on time? A couple of around the NBA things. We'll let the other guys speak on this as well. I'll give you four examples of what's happened in the East, and you tell me what scares you. Doc to Milwaukee.
No.
Rozier to the Heat.
Yes.
Siakam to Indianapolis or Indiana.
Nope.
Ananobi to the Knicks.
No. Nope. The only thing that scares me there is Terry Rozier. I just think he's a guy, when he goes on a good team, he's legit. I know we saw him early in his career here, but he was probably our best player, Scary Terry, in that playoff run, one of our best players. And I think he's just a way better upgrade than
– I got to give it to Paul. Paul, any of those four categories, how do you feel about them?
No, the Knicks are going to be a pain. I hope we don't face them. John, I got to get back to a point Matt made. He has it wrong on the 2003 Red Sox. The Red Sox bullpen was excellent. Those three players, Timlin, Embry, and Scott Williamson, were at the top of their game. They were equivalent to Keith Foulke. The manager lost the game, which leads to the Celtics thing right now. You have all these players, you have all these teams. It could come down to the coach. It really and truly could.
Wow, could be. Cove, I'll let you I went a little long in that segment, and I know the beeper went off. Anything else on the C's?
No, but I'm glad to see old friend Doc show up in Milwaukee. Excuse me, because that's just going to expedite Giannis's ticket out of town and out of the East. So I'm so glad to see Doc there, and you know I'll be so glad to see Giannis pack his bags.
See, I don't think Doc is going to make them good enough to beat you in a series, but I think he is going to. He's good with stars.
Yeah,
outside of James Harden,
he'll get the locker room.
I think he could revive that team a little bit, and I think it will work out for the most part. Hey, maybe he goes and beats the Sixers in the playoffs. A little revenge series for Doc.
I would love somebody to tell me what Doc Rivers has done outside of coaching the Celtics. Nothing. Anything. He was a miserable failure with the Clippers, a miserable failure with the Sixers.
I mean, miserable failure. You
totally ruined him too. Yeah. And he's. No thanks. But I'm glad to see old friend Doc there. Because, like I said, it just expedites Giannis's ticket out of town.
I mean, we can't be throwing around miserable failure for a guy who's taken teams to at least the semifinals or what is the quarterfinals to Game 7. I mean, I don't blame him for last year's Sixers. I blame James Harden more than I blame Doc. And the Clippers, he did choke away one or two of those series. So I will put that on him. But that Clippers team was nothing. They had talent. He did all right. He didn't do enough. But miserable failure is a little much. Last thing I'll say on the C's, I'm glad all these moves are getting made around the league, and it's going to be a tough run. Good. I hope it is tough for them. I hope you get the Knicks in the first round. I hope you have the Heat in the second round. And then I hope you have to face Milwaukee. And then I hope you have to face Denver or the Clippers or some strong team. It's not going to be easy. I don't want it to be easy. This team has to grow up. Dave, set the timer for 4 minutes for the final segment. We're going to do some miscellaneous stuff. And we'll let Paul lead us off. Paul, anything on Harbaugh to the Chargers? Around the NFL, college football, anything there? Craig Breslow.
I'm happy for Harbaugh because the posse was after him. It'll settle that down, but it does seem that college football, until they get all these teams, having one loss to punish a team and keep it out of the 14 playoff is just absurd. So I think they'll get some sanity. The NIL thing does really worry me, John, because if a guy doesn't have his way, he's just going to mope and pick another team. Just keep picking teams. John, there's a player in Miami is in his ninth year, and he has eligibility. Ninth year. So
crazy.
I know. It is nuts. Well, we'll see what happens with that in 5 to 7 years. But to your point, I think the 12-team playoff is going to be pretty amazing. Dave, anything for the miscellaneous segment?
No, I don't think so.
Dan Campbell?
I'd love to see Dan Campbell in the Super Bowl. That'll be that if you're the NFL, you want – I know they want Taylor Swift there, so –
Which is fine,
but I think Dan Campbell being in the Super Bowl would be incredible. You get a lot of good media stuff during that week. But the one devil's advocate for Doc, just because, he keeps getting these jobs. I mean, look at the Sixers this year. Embiid has been great. Look at where Harden is in the Clippers. He's been great. I mean, so Doc's kind of the odd one out there, in my opinion. He could have made that work potentially. So, we'll see how that goes. But, I think you got to hit Doc a little harder for what he did with the Sixers.
Well said. Cove, anything in the miscellaneous segment?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the 49ers-Packers game on Saturday night. It was a classic, as was the playlist that Fox used to present the game to a national television audience. And we all know that football has broad-based appeal. You've got kids in eighth grade watching it. Obviously you have, grown men in their 70s and 80s. Going in and out of commercial breaks, Fox is using Naughty by Nature, Flock of Seagulls, Tears for Fears, Eddie Money, The Smashing Pumpkins, and The Grateful Dead. That's the biggest argument you ever need to hear about modern music today. Where are the big hit makers? Where's Taylor Swift? You hear about her nonstop. Her songs can't make a broadcast like that. So there's your answer about conversations about modern music. Fox refuses to use any current artists to go in and out of commercial breaks in a game. So if you're XYZ big act with 30 million streams a month on Spotify, you just got beat by Naughty by Nature on Saturday night, a rap group with one hit from 33 years ago.
You can't drop a better miscellaneous take than that. Paul, we've got a minute to go here. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, you guys are a little too hard on Doc Rivers.
I wasn't.
I'm hard. I can be
guilty. I'm being serious now. He's an outstanding human being and a coach. And yes. I do not blame him for Philadelphia. And the L.A. Clippers have never, ever won anything. If they had Phil Jackson, they might have a fighting chance if he stayed there for 20 years, but they're not going to win. So I don't blame Doc Rivers. Yes, he's been on teams that have lost 3-1 leads, but I take Doc Rivers. The only issue I have is that that Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson lost their job for this new broadcasting team, and he only was there 30 games. So that's a little unfortunate, but I don't think he undercut anybody. He's from Milwaukee. It has a chance. Obviously, I want the Celtics to win, but if Milwaukee won, it wouldn't bother me.
I like it. Dave, what were your thoughts on the timed episode? We just hit our last beeper.
Phenomenal. I think it's a keeper.
Yeah, it might be a new format. Those are our commercial breaks. Until we get commercials, which will happen one day, those are our breaks for now. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on. We hope to have a quicker turnaround on the next episode in the next week or two. But it was good to catch up with everyone. Thanks for coming on, team.
John, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but nobody mentioned the intentional safety at Mile High against the Broncos on Monday night in 2003, a week after the Aaron Boone Wakefield game.
Unbelievable.
When the region needed it the most, Belichick was there for you.
Amazing. Really well said, Cove. All right, gang. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk with you soon. The Lions. Mm-hmm.